Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
On the Fan on this now Thursday morning. Mick Monagle here with you. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Me and Rami hanging with you for five hours until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show right here on the Fan. And we start with the number five. Five straight wins for the New York Yankees. They look like a brand new team. That's right. Oh, okay. You're going to have a miserable loss, disgusting loss Friday night against the Boston Red Sox? All right. That'll be the end of this nonsense that we saw for the last 2 months. And they have now gone on a five-game winning streak, a torrid pace of scoring runs, took care of the last two games in Boston, and now went into Philadelphia. Yeah, it's a little bit of a struggling Philadelphia team, as now they've lost five. Seems to be the number we're going around with, five consecutive series losses for Philadelphia, but to go into Philly, win all three, win the last one with DJ LeMahieu getting all of the RBIs, hitting a grand slam and a two-run double. These are games, and this is how I felt yesterday and watching it now. These are games the Yankees haven't won in 2 months. I mean, let's just, Nestor pitched his best game on the road and still not very good. And still concerning, and we'll get to Brian Cashman at 888-808-1019 and some of the stuff he had to say and Flaherty and why he's not a Yankee and why he's a Dodger instead. And they still need help in the pitching department, as we're still waiting to hear about Gerrit Cole. You know, he had a bullpen yesterday, felt okay. He'll have a bullpen on Friday. Maybe, hopefully, pitch in this Toronto series. Everything seems okay, but clearly a little bit of an issue with him. Concerned about just general body fatigue, a little bit of a stomach bug, whatever the case may be. Obviously, Nestor Cortes, as good as he was, and I mean this was as good as he's been on the road pretty much all year, and it's still a high wire act once you get through the lineup more than once. I mean, let's just be honest. His stuff has not played this year. It just hasn't. And it's when he gets through the first three innings like he does, it's almost like that's it. That's all you could expect, because clearly when he tries to get through the second, third time through a lineup, if he's ever there a third time through the lineup, it doesn't have that same bite. It doesn't have that same, you know, he could try and slow pitch and do all the fun stuff that we see when he's cooking. But ultimately, it's just, you're concerned about him. You're concerned about this rotation. I'm not saying there aren't concerns, but here's the fact of the matter. The New York Yankees, since Friday night in Boston, since acquiring Jazz Chisholm, since the trade deadline, have scored a ton of runs. The offense looks completely different. They're winning games. We haven't seen them win in 2 months. They're now five games in a row. And here's the fact of the matter. They have 65 wins, and nobody, not Philadelphia, not the Dodgers, not the Baltimore Orioles, not the Cleveland Guardians. Nobody in Major League Baseball has more wins than the New York Yankees. And despite doing what they did for 2 months, they were still good enough in those first 2 months, and they're good enough now to be as winning a ball club as there is in Major League Baseball. And you watch what they have done since, and you watch this lineup top to bottom and the difference in it. And DJ LeMahieu, who, listen, I'm not going to tell you that this is it. I've been clamoring for DJ LeMahieu to be designated for assignment. I want a DJ cut. I still don't like the fact that they're bringing him in late in games for defensive replacements where he gets at bats. You saw two nights ago, he comes in with an opportunity in the 10th inning for just a sacrifice fly, ground ball up the middle, something. to get a run in and try and win a game in extra innings against Philadelphia. He's unable to do so with a pop-up. We've seen him struggle to the level where it really felt like he was getting into the territory of Hicks and Gallo. And what has bothered so many people, including BT, and I heard the interview today with Brian Cashman, and I thought it was a good question, about the amount of time and rope guys have been given. Right, the urgency of the New York Yankees. And watching this team fade over the last 2 months, part of it has been the urgency of allowing Verdugo to be in the middle of the lineup, or, you know, obviously still throwing DJ LeMahieu out there. It felt like Hicks. It felt like Gallo. It felt like, hey, what are you going to do? This is the team. We have no improvement. We're trying to see if this guy can play. And all the same nonsense that we've been saying forever. And while I still believe that, and while I'm still concerned about DJ LeMahieu, by no means do I think a great six RBI day suddenly changes the narrative or the story of DJ LeMahieu. The point is that something has clicked inside this team, and they are starting to revert back to who they were at the beginning of the year. And they are one of, if not the best team in the American League. That's who they've been, even during the downstretch. They are a good team who went through unbelievably, mind-numbingly so, 2 months of being terrible. But when you look at it, they still have more wins than anybody, or as many wins as anybody. They've scored now, forget about it. They have more, they've scored the most runs. This putrid, pathetic, disgusting offense that we needed 2-3 bats, keep bringing them all at the trade deadline. That this one, we need to trade Gleyber Torres, trade Verdugo, designate DJ LeMahieu for assignment. Just clean house. It's disgusting. I can't watch it anymore. How was Boone not benching this guy? It's a joke. It's two good hitters. That's all they have. And yet still, the most runs scored in Major League Baseball. The best run differential in Major League Baseball. And that's not to tell you they're guaranteed to go win the World Series or that they're the best team in baseball. But what I will tell you is that I have a hard time looking at all of those, looking at all the stats I just gave you, looking at the first 2 months and 2.5 months of this season, and looking at what they are right now and saying definitively what we saw for 2 months or 7 weeks prior to this game Friday night against the Red Sox was who the Yankees are. It's probably a facsimile of. It's somewhere in the middle. I don't expect them to score 6, 7, 8 runs, 10 runs a night the way they have over the last 5 games. But this is a team that everybody told me couldn't beat good teams. Went into Philadelphia and took care of the best team in baseball over the course of this year and made a statement and scored a ton of runs. And won games holding on with the bullpen. You saw Leiter, the new addition to the Yankees, struggling, finds way to get out of it, swing and miss stuff. And then, of course, you saw Clay Holmes back in the game and right back on the horse, and he is their closer. You heard it from Cashman. You've heard it from Boone. You've heard it from the captain. That's Clay Holmes is the closer for this team, for better or for worse. And when you watch it, he is not a pitcher. I'm sorry. I know we can go over this Clay Holmes stuff over and over again. When you watch him pitch, he is a guy who has great stuff, great movement, and gets ugly at bats. I know that everyone seems to want to tell me, I got a bunch of stuff on Twitter. You guys are the best. Like, oh, you said last night he got a bunch of soft contact. Well, what about the almost home run or how hard the ground ball was hit by Harper in this game? Yes, getting ground balls, getting hard enough hit ground balls to turn double plays. The funny thing is, if last night or the 2 nights ago, if he got a hard hit ground ball as hard as it was hit by Harper in this game, they get out of it with a double play the other night. Easy. I understand there are issues with this team. Clay Holmes being one of them. He's not perfect. He's got the most blown saves in the league, but he's their closer. And watching this team right now, and if you look ahead at the schedule, they're about to come home from a long homestand, play teams like the Angels. They are as good or better than any team in baseball. And if DJ LeMahieu can be anything, I talk about at the trade deadline, I wanted bats. I didn't want to trade Gleyber Torres. I didn't want to get rid of Verdugo. I wanted to add. I wanted more bats than Jazz Chisholm, who's come in here and clearly helped this team.
I mean, they're winning games where the other night, for all of the two good hitters talk, the other night you got no RBIs from Soto and Judge. They still score seven runs. Yesterday, Judge strikes out in every single at bat practically. And they still can win a game and score a bunch of runs. When they have as many hitters as they, you know, and this is what I said. I wanted to add as many hitters. I want a bench. I want guys to hit. I want to have to worry about how to maneuver the lineup. And if DJ LeMahieu, who hit those two balls harder than we've seen him hit balls at any point this year, even if that wasn't a home run, even if that was just a double off the wall, the other taking a fastball away and lacing it, that is a DJ LeMahieu swing. And while I won't hold my breath, and I'm not going to tell you that DJ's back, what I will tell you is those two swings look different than anything we have seen at any point from him over the course of this year. And if you are looking at guys like Ben Rice hitting eighth, you are looking at Volpe, who got a couple hits in this game, hopefully turning around hitting ninth. You are looking at Verdugo and the version that he's given you the last five games. Gleyber Torres, who struggled in this game, again, another player I'm concerned about. By no means am I telling you Gleyber's the greatest, but he's hitting around 300 over the last handful of games, around the last 15 or 20 games. Let's just say since the All-Star break. To make it nice and easy, he's been hitting, Volpe's been hitting, Verdugo's been hitting, Ben Rice is hitting eighth. Now you've got, if you can have DJ LeMahieu giving you anything, now with the addition of Chisholm, and obviously the two best hitters in all of baseball, arguably, in Soto and Judge, now you have a lineup that actually can produce top to bottom. Now you have a deep lineup. And you add in some of the pieces that are coming back to the bullpen, right? We got Efros coming back, you got different pieces coming back to the bullpen, and they feel like a complete team and a swagger. And what Chisholm has brought here, not only is the home runs, not only is the base running ability, not only is the athleticism, but it's brought about some sort of feeling inside the clubhouse where it's, you know, sometimes you need a spark, you need a change. And maybe the trade deadline was hovering over guys like Gleyber Torres. Maybe the trade deadline was hovering over guys like Verdugo, or hovering over, certainly, guys like Nestor Cortez. But these are the kind of games where you head into Philadelphia, and you're playing the best team, and the crowd's been great in Philadelphia all year long. These are big-time games. You follow a Boston Red Sox series with wacky games, balls off the wall, all kinds of nonsense going on. And then you come into Philadelphia, and you take all three. What they were a couple weeks ago is meaningless as the first 2 months were during that stretch 2 weeks ago. They are who they are now. And since the All-Star break and since the trade deadline specifically and since Friday night in Boston, they feel, look, smell, everything like a completely different team. And as you go forward here in this craziness that is the Major League Baseball playoff scenario, and you're looking at, you know, the Astros have gotten themselves back into it, but how good are they? You look at the Mariners, who have now, you know, taken over the lead in the division, but ultimately they can pitch, but they've added some additions. We'll see how they make the lineup better, where they got Turner, they got Arozarena. We'll see what their offense is. Baltimore has been on a streak. It's amazing, too, the thing with Baltimore. The Yankees lose forever. Baltimore loses right there with them. The Yankees get hot. They don't lose in Baltimore. It's amazing. They call up Jackson Holliday, and he hits a bomb home run after struggling his first time up. It just feels like the Yankees and Orioles are on this collision course to take this all the way down to the wire for this division. But you look at the rest of the league, right? Everyone tells me the Central means nothing. You can't count the Cleveland Guardians. You can't the Minnesota Twins, please. The Kansas City Royals, don't make me laugh. And so as we take a breath here, as a day off tomorrow and an earlier game today, and you have a second to think about these teams, both Mets and Yankees, we're going to get to the Mets in a second here, but you look at this Yankee team specifically, who's better? Who's better? Are there holes? Of course. Does Clay Holmes scare you? Yes. Does Gleyber Torres and his defense scare you? Yes. But you look at what they've done offensively. You look at the additions they've made, swing and miss guy in the bullpen, and the addition of Chisholm. Tell me they're not the best team. Tell me there's a reason why I shouldn't be pounding my chest, talking about the run scored, talking about the 65 wins, talking about the idea that this team is as good as anyone in the American League. And then you get to the Mets, who lost the finale of the Minnesota game, but take another series. But here's the thing with the Mets, right? And this is why I was clamoring for them to add at the deadline in a serious way. Because when I look at this Met team, I saw an offense that I still believe in, no doubt. No doubt. As should you. And top to bottom, I think throughout the lineup, they are as devastatingly good as almost any offense in baseball, top to bottom. I still believe that. And you saw that from Vientos. So we're going to have a conversation about Vientos at some point over the 5 hours today at 888-808-1019. But the offense was going too good to think it would last forever. Now, at that clip, and really since the All-Star break, the offense has been inconsistent. I mean, you take away the second game against the Yankees where they pounded the Yankees and, you know, Sal Licata said the Yankees are dead and the Mets have killed them. Thank you, Sal. I love this guy. I mean, he's constantly saying, it was beautiful. The Yankees have lost one game since and have turned their season around. But besides the second game against the Yankees where they scored 12 and the first game of this Minnesota series where they scored 15, the offense has been wildly inconsistent. Nimmo's fallen off. You know, you can't expect Lindor to continue on a pace of just being right up there with Judge as the best hitter in all of baseball. Vientos is still hitting, and that home run yesterday. Vientos hits a home run. I swear, I was watching the game with my son a little bit later in the day because I sleep, so I'm watching both games on replay or on DVR or whatever. And when that ball got out, I turned to my son and I was like, man, this guy's power is out of control. Because I did not, to go opposite field on a swing like that where I thought he was late on it and still have enough power to send that thing oppo taco. I mean, he has a 900 OPS. Vientos is one of the many reasons why I feel like this team is special and I was hoping to add more. Now, as you get further away from the deadline and you realize how many different trades weren't made and how difficult it was to make trades for buyers and it was such a seller's market, I understand what the Mets are doing. We can relitigate the trade deadline if you like. But my point is this team, as they're about to head into a massive, I believe it's a 10-game road trip, where they are going to, you know, play some easier teams. You're going to see Arizona at the end. I mean, how important that series is going to be against Arizona. How important the series is going to be against San Diego, who you've already swept, and now you're looking to just at least take one of the four to try and secure yourself a tiebreaker with them, but they just keep winning. This National League wild card is crazy, and if the Mets are going to do what you hope they were going to do, it's not going to be about the trade deadline acquisitions, right? It's not going to be about Blackburn in the rotation and moving McGill to the bullpen. It's not going to be about all the different bullpen guys that they've added and really completely changed the bullpen over the last 2 months. It looks completely different. Now, hopefully you're going to get Reed Foley back, who's throwing rehab games already. Reed Garrett should be on his way. You've made the additions you've made to the bullpen. You feel a little bit better about the bullpen, certainly since Budo has been moved in there. But it's not about the bullpen. It's not about the rotation. It's about the driving force of this team that completely was horrible to start the year and led to losing, and what changed and got on fire and what changed this team over the last 2 months, and that's the offense. And this offense, you live and die by this Mets offense. They have been the driving force of the team, and when they sputter, when they struggle, you are going to struggle. And now they're not, you know, really struggling. They've lost the last two of Atlanta bounced back and couldn't score runs in this game against Minnesota. But that's the driving force of this Met team. And that's why I believe in them still, top to bottom, right? Marte hopefully should be back soon. I don't know the impact of that because you have better options now. You have Winker, Iglesias playing second base and move McNeil to the outfield. So it's not like you've been missing Marte. The offense has been great without them. But the addition of him can help bolster, you know, this lineup, but ultimately, as they get right now on this 10-game road trip into the thick of things, into this wild card, as they now find themselves, amazingly enough, after being right there on the precipice of taking over the first wild card spot, they are now a half game out of this wild card spot. And if they are going to fight for the playoffs, if this is going to be ultimately the season that Stearns talked about at the beginning, where they believe they're good enough to make the playoffs, the owner told you that, they're going to try and build, which they certainly have. They didn't touch the major prospects. They are still building. The future of this team is still very bright and in capable hands, and they didn't get rid of any of these big-time prospects that I thought they could have for a different trade like a Skubal, and those moves weren't made by anybody. But if this team is going to finally do it, if this team is going to get over the hump and make it in this difficult wild card where now the Padres have completely, you know, added to their bullpen and brought in the best reliever moved on the market and have been winning and come from behind wins. The same thing, and now Arizona's, you know, having the same kind of tear they had at this time last year. If you are going to find a way to get into the postseason, it is going to be predicated on how this offense does. And you knew it wasn't going to last forever. You knew Nimmo wasn't going to be, you know, driving in runs at the clip he was driving in runs and hitting home runs the clip he was driving in runs. And you didn't expect, you know, Lindor to be the best hitter in baseball for the entire rest of the season. But as you look at this team, I still believe in what Iglesias can give you, even though he's cooled off a little bit. And obviously McNeil has upped his playing time, and rightfully so with his sudden hot streak. But you still have got Vientos, who's killing it. The role players, you've added Winker to it, who's gotten off to a decent start here with the Mets. Obviously, you know, you're still talking about, you know, Bader having his best career year and, you know, Taylor having his best career year. I mean, these are all the characteristics of this Mets team. So as we take a break, as the day is off today, yesterday's games are in the afternoon, you take a step back as both teams embark on long stands, Yankees for a home stand, the Mets head out west, or head out on a road trip. Both of these teams in position to do everything they were expected to do. The Mets build while competing and being a playoff team, and the Yankees trying to attack the American League and get back to their first World Series since 09. 888-808-1019. We'll get into the football as well, as football is back. The Hall of Fame game tonight between the Bears and Texans. We'll get into, we'll have a little fun with that. As I told you, I don't care. And I mean, no, you know, I told you I'm excited for it. And then I'll probably put it on tonight. And then the second I realize that the Bears don't have a single starter playing in the game and I get three plays in, I'll go, yeah, I don't care. But the season is back. We got to get to the Giants and an offensive lineman signing and what that means for Evan Neal. And then, of course, the Jets. And I talked a little bit about it yesterday. We'll get into more about Aaron Rodgers getting into it with Wilson on the sidelines, and how much I feel that is a positive, not a negative. So we got plenty of football to get to. We'll start with your baseball calls on both teams. And, of course, we'll just have a couple of laughs as we take you for the five-hour ride all the way till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, taking your calls next. We'll be right back.